Hello everyone, welcome to the International Business Podcast. If you work across time zones, borders and cultures, this is the show for you. I'm Leonardo, founder and host of the show, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. I'm based in Shanghai and I'm accompanied by two co-hosts, Stefano, based in Paris, and Audrey from San Francisco. Coming up on today's episode.
Every industry is growing and changing. You have to be constantly upskilling. That's why you're always networking, learning from your colleagues to spot the trends and find out what you need to learn in order to stay competitive. But I do think hybrid culture is here to stay because bosses like it, they spend less on real estate, and workers like it because they can work in shorts and t-shirts from their homes. So it's definitely here to stay, which means everyone has got to adapt to that.
Dr. Chaz teaches three courses for LinkedIn Learning: creating a career plan, succeeding in a new job, transitioning out of your job. Over 500,000 people from all over the world have been learning from him. He's a recognized authority in the field of career packaging and marketing. He trains his clients to self-market, a mandatory skill in today's workplace. You can find more details about him in the show notes. Now let's begin. Hello, Dr. Chaz. I'm glad to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Leonardo. Good to be here.
Dr. Chaz, what makes you an international professional?
I've been coaching people all over the world for many years. While cultures vary, business issues and problems are universal. Bad bosses, bureaucracies that stifle new ideas and progress, poor communication channels, etc., etc. I also have two books I've authored and three LinkedIn learning courses I created and teach. And I get fan mail from people in every continent on a weekly basis telling me how valuable my work has been for them.
So the employment landscape can be volatile and scary, especially right now in the 21st century. What can you tell us about creating a solid career plan to navigate the rough times we have today?
Now, though it may sound counterintuitive, you need to start at the end. What's your goal? Short term, midterm, long term. So, for example, broadly speaking, let's say your long-term goal is to own your own fashion line. And as a sidebar here, I should mention that I taught at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising for many years, so I have some familiarity with that world. Your short-term goal might be getting a degree in fashion design, majoring in international manufacturing from a reputable college. The midterm goal would be to find a job in manufacturing with a major design house where you would learn firsthand how things work in the fashion world and build your skill set and your network and your credibility and your sources of funding, which would, after many years, get you to the point of hopefully being able to start your own line. I use a SWOT analysis with both my private clients and students. If your listeners aren't familiar with what a SWOT is, it's a rectangle on a computer screen or sheet of paper divided into four quadrants. SWOT stands for strengths, what's missing, which traditionally was called weaknesses, but I retitled it as what's missing, opportunities, and threats. The top two quadrants, strengths on the left and what's missing on the right, are all about you. What specific skills do you have that employers will pay for? Not generalities like I work hard or I'm a good team player. Specifics, like the languages in which you're fluent, the relevant software programs you're proficient in, things you've accomplished in previous positions, etc. The top right quadrant, which I call what's missing, are the things you need to do so they become strengths. I'll give you an example from my own life. I was teaching at the college level with a master's degree for a number of years, but wanted to teach at the university level. What was missing was a doctorate. It went in the top right quadrant. When I earned my doctorate in organizational leadership, that became a strength and moved into the top left quadrant. I then leveraged that strength into teaching at both Loyola Marymount University and Chapman University. The two bottom quadrants, opportunities on the left and threats on the right, have to do with the marketplace. As part of your career plan, you need to know before you spend any money or time pursuing a career goal, whether the industry and the type of job you're after is growing or shrinking. And what kind of salary can you expect to earn in the job you want? In other words, is your passion monetizable? It's important to understand that just because you have a passion for something, that doesn't mean you can make a living at it.
Networking. What is it, Dr. Chaz, and how to do it successfully?
Leonardo, three parts to that. Number one, you need to define in as few words as possible what your brand is. Number two, I train my clients how to articulate that brand in all the marketing they do, from their soundbite to their company's mission statement, their resume, their LinkedIn profile, headline, et cetera, et cetera. Number three, focus on your target market. Who would pay for what you offer? Begin to reach them via social media, and then, if possible, convert that into in-person meetings. People work with people they know and trust. Build relationships, nurture them, and eventually the work will come.
LinkedIn, Dr. Chaz, is it an important platform? Should all professionals be on LinkedIn? And if yes, why?
The answer is no, not all professionals should be on LinkedIn. For example, years ago, I had a client who was a graphic designer, and he was a private client. He also took one of my courses. And in the course, he introduced himself. I said, "Can we see your work? Because how charming you are as a graphic designer is less relevant than what's the quality of your work. You may be the most charming guy in the world. If your work's no good, I'm not going to hire you." So I said, "Do you have a LinkedIn profile?" He said, "Yes, but I don't really use it." My work is posted on a website called Behance, BEHANCE.net. That's where graphic designers post their portfolios. If you're looking for a graphic designer, that's where you go. So for him, LinkedIn, not relevant. Katy Perry is on Twitter. She has 108 million followers. Whenever I think I'm important with 32,000 followers on LinkedIn, I go to Katy Perry's Twitter feed, 108 million followers, because her fans are tweeners, young girls, and they live on Twitter. So in many cases, if you're in traditional business roles, it's LinkedIn, but not always. You have to use whatever social media platforms appropriate to where your audience lives.
You have been teaching leadership and strategy to MBA students at UpGrad in India. What can you tell us about toxic culture in the workplace?
Well, let's use India as an example. Very traditional corporate cultures. From what I've learned from my students and clients there, it's tough to get rid of people who are older and won't adapt to new technologies. It's tough to push through innovative proposals. Bosses often don't seem to consult with their staff and make changes somewhat arbitrarily. These are toxic work environments. My clients are unhappy and frustrated, and I'm not sure their bosses know or care, or if they did care, would be able to change things. India certainly isn't alone in this. I'm speaking to you from Los Angeles, about 2 miles from where the Oscars are. And in the US, while we're a few decades ahead of India in many ways, we have our own problems. Sexism, racism, workers being exploited by what are frankly greedy bosses, workers unable to earn a living wage, etc. So much for American exceptionalism.
So the pandemic brought many disruptions. I think we can all agree on this, Dr. Chaz. And these disruptions made us all aware that what we know now may not be enough to succeed later on. So lifelong learning is a must-have skill. I would say it is so important. It was before, but even more so now. How to become a lifelong learner?
It ought to be built into everything you do. Every industry is growing and changing. You have to be constantly upskilling. That's why you're always networking, learning from your colleagues to spot the trends and find out what you need to learn in order to stay competitive. I'm assuming that if you're going to be doing work that stimulates you, that gives your life some meaning and purpose, you'll want to continue to work in that field, which defines you as a lifelong learner. Truly, education is never completed until you die.
Personal branding, because I know this is a topic that you care a lot, and I can see this on your LinkedIn profile, on your website, and everywhere. But specifically to freelancers, Dr. Chaz, so for all those freelancers around the world, how can they rebrand themselves post-COVID-19, if there's ever post-COVID-19?
It's not really a whole lot different as it was before COVID. COVID moved us into a more hybrid working model. So you have some sense, hopefully, of what's happening in the marketplace Yeah, which means you'll need to upgrade the skills that are in demand now, namely greater efficiency in your computer and social networking skills. But marketing is marketing. This is what I need to learn now. This is what I need to do now post-COVID. That's the way it's going. Go with the flow.
I'm thinking of my team, Dr. Chaz. So we are four people, four different nationalities, four different countries. Now, it is very much possible to start a new job from home and not being at the very same office. So for the new hires, there's no onboarding at the office. There's no coffee time with colleagues. There's no lunch with the new colleagues and not even beers after work. What tips do you suggest to a new hire in the midst of this new work from home business culture?
People hire and promote the people they know and trust. That's human nature. I've been coaching clients and teaching largely on Zoom for the past 2 years. It's simply not the same as working in the same physical space with other people. You lose the collaboration and the serendipity of engaging with people and creating new ideas and projects together, people you meet in person. If you're a new hire, work hybrid. That's my recommendation. It's fine to work from home, but to really be a part of your company's culture, you need those lunches and beers.
This episode is sponsored by International Expansion Explained. Are you looking to expand internationally, but you're not sure where to start? Or you export already, but would like to venture further overseas? Reach out to arrange an International Clarity session and learn more about growth plans at katherinereed.com. That is katherynreed.com. Do you think that the hybrid culture is something that is going to stay no matter, I mean, when COVID, let's say, will finish, kind of? Hybrid working culture is a new thing. Is it going to be the new norm? And if yes, do you think, is this a good or bad thing or both?
I don't have a judgment as to whether it's good or bad. It's just the way it is now. And like anything else, there's going to be an upside and downside. The internet's wonderful in some ways, and in others, it's awful. Cars are great and they pollute the environment. I mean, the good things and bad things for everything. But I do think hybrid culture is here to stay because bosses like it. They spend less on real estate, and workers like it because they can work in shorts and t-shirts from their homes. So it's definitely here to stay, which means everyone has got to adapt to that. But don't get too comfortable working from home because you are losing certain things. You may be more efficient from home on some days. Yes, some days not. But you need to be in the office and around other people. That's where the good stuff happens. Apple designed its new headquarters. It's a circle. So people can run into each other from other departments who never would have met otherwise and come up with really weird and wonderful ideas that they never would have thought of alone.
I agree with you. I mean, sometimes I just go, let's say, to the other room of the office and maybe have a chat with colleagues that are not directly related to my business unit. But those 5 minutes, then I go and grab a coffee and then maybe a chat about anything or maybe even business related, like maybe about an issue that they're having at the moment, may actually help me and provide an idea. And yeah, this is missing from home. Yeah, video calls are great, but a combination of physical and digital, it is important. I think the phygital is kind of the new term that has been used. So a combination of physical and digital experiences.
My concept of diversity, what I call diversity 2.0, is not diversity 1.0 is to have different people from different cultures and races and religions around a table. But that's 1.0. 2.0 diversity for me is that you have people with different perspectives. Because if I have a rainbow of people around the table and they're all engineers, I'm going to get an engineer's take on an issue. I want all those different types of people, but I want engineers, operations people, finance people, artists, accountants, because they're going to look at the problem from different perspectives and I can learn. So you need to access those people constantly in your life because they have a different way to think about things. And you need to be humble enough to go, oh, that never would have occurred to me. What a great idea. Let's collaborate.
Let's try to make this practical a second for the audience. Let's take as an example a 22, 23-year-old person who just got graduated, maybe graduated 3 months ago, 6 months ago. What are the three key things that this person should do right now, let's say still during COVID, to get ready for the job market? Probably he or she should have started already before, but let's say exactly now, the three key things that you will suggest someone who's just starting their career.
Let's presumably say this person is on a track to work in a field that's growing. Yes. So the first thing is, again, back to defining the brand. What is it you offer? What makes you special and different? Yes, other people can do what you do. I know your mother thinks you're the most special person in the world, but other people can do what you do. But I've, in the thousands of people I work with in my career, no one has the same brand. Everyone has special things they've done. That's part of your brand. So you need to define that. Yes. And then you need to start reaching out now, yesterday, to people in the industry. And the last line of my second book is hang out, make friends, find work. So you need to start connecting, probably through social media, with not just colleagues, but people in positions of power and influence who would want to know what it is you offer because they might be able to use it. Yes. And start making friends and developing relationships. Those are going to put you over the top. You have the skill set already, but it's always the people that get you there. Lyndon Johnson, who was president of the United States many years ago, said a father's greatest gift to his son are his friends. Yes. So if you don't have those friends from your father, you need to make them yourself. And that requires constantly marketing and letting people in your field who are in a position to hire you or refer you for work know what you do, know that you're not unemployed, but you're available, and stay in touch with them so that when something comes up, we have a couple of days work, I'll take it. We have some freelance work, I'll take it. We have a project, I'll take it. We have part-time work, I'll take it. And to get into the culture and let them see how good you are and how easy you are to get along with and how well you follow instructions, because they're not looking for leaders, they're looking for soldiers. What a good soldier you are. And that makes your career. And you continue to do that, as I tell my clients, until you die. Once you're dead, you're off the hook. But as long as you want to work, you're always self-marketing.
I got one final question I ask everyone who comes on the show, Dr. Chaz. Please tell us about one memorable moment from your international career, and that could be a successful, a funny, or even a catastrophic episode. Your pick.
This was an aha moment when I realized this truly is a global environment. A number of years ago, I had a client. He was Italian. He worked in the oil and gas industry. He was Italian. He earned his MBA in the United States. He was living in South Africa, and he needed coaching on a job he was going for in Kuwait. And I still tell that story. This is the new norm. This is the way the world is. And isn't it a wonderful thing that you can connect with people like you and I have connected in different continents and help each other and help other people as a result? But that's the moment it crystallized for me. And now I know what I'm dealing with. It's truly global. And isn't it wonderful to be a part of that?
Dr. Chaz, before we go, to wrap this up, after listening to this episode, who should connect with you? And tell us a little bit more about your current role.
I'm not going to say everybody because I'm not Coca-Cola. their marketing mantra was within arm's reach, that anyone who ever wanted a Coke could get it within an arm's reach. That's not me. I have two target audiences. So anybody listening, if you're part of this target audience, I may be able to help you. One is leaders and managers who need coaching on how to be more effective and how to use social media to reach their target audiences. That's number one. Number two, workers who need to learn to market themselves in the gig economy. Those are my two primary target audiences. I wish everyone else well, but I don't think we can do business together.
Dr. Chaz, I want to thank you for your insights. Thank you for joining us on the International Business Podcast.
Thank you very much, Leonardo. It was a pleasure.
You can find the podcast on all the major platforms. Make sure to subscribe. Do not miss the weekly episodes. And are you an international professional? Connect with us on LinkedIn to come on the show. For now, cheers.